Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to church. Can I get you to grab your hymnals and take a seat? Grab your hymnals and take a seat. And can I get you to turn in your hymnals to hymn number 191? Hymn number 191, "In My Heart There Rings a Melody." Hymn number 191. "In My Heart There Rings a Melody." I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody. Brother Jason, do you mind opening in a word of prayer?
Dear Lord, I want to thank you for today, Lord, that we can have another service, a church service. We pray, Lord, that you be with us and that you'd be pleased with our worship to you. I do this to Pastor Kevin, that you'd be with him again for the second service and filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Can I get you to turn now to hymn number 255? Hymn number 255, "Come and Dine." Hymn number 255.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manner he doth feed and supplies our every need. But it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth. Dine. We may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assemble be. It will be a glorious sight, for the saints and spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Good singing. Can I get you to now turn in your hymnals to hymn number 411. Hymn number 411, "Hold the Fort." Hymn number 411.
Oh, my comrades, see the sea.
Can I get you to grab your Bibles now and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and Brother Matthias is coming up for the Bible reading. Ephesians chapter 6.
Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the word sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. I pray that everyone could learn something from the sermon, that my dad will be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you, Matthias. So Ephesians 6 is the chapter that contains the famous armor of God, that we're to put on that armor. Why would we need to put on armor to go to battle? Because we're soldiers of the Lord, because life can be challenging, life can be difficult, and we need to not only defend ourselves, but we are to attack using the sword of the Spirit. But that's not really what I want to draw your attention to. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 18, just following that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see, not only is the armor of God important, and of course every part is, but we need to remember to always pray. To always pray as we go and live out this life which is challenging, which we've been called to be a soldier for our Lord Jesus Christ. The title for the sermon this afternoon is How to Enrich Your Prayer Life. How to enrich your prayer life. I know that when it comes to prayer, it is something that is easy to not do properly. Let's put it that way. Okay? When I think about prayer, of course, prayer is how we speak to the Lord. We go to the Lord and we bring our prayer, of course, means to ask. We come and we ask things from the Lord. You know, we speak to the Lord. But, you know, it's not the same as speaking to someone that I can see face to face. You know, between service, we had some fellowship, and I've been able to talk to some of you. We can have a conversation. We can talk about different topics, you know, and we can show interest one toward another. You know, I understand what it means to have, of course, fellowship and friendship and communication amongst other people. But sometimes when I think about my prayer life to the Lord, and maybe you can associate yourself with this, it's hard because we don't see the Lord. And sometimes when you don't see the person that you're trying to communicate with, it's easy to fall into this pattern of maybe just praying and saying the same words. Or you kind of feel like, well, I mean, I'm kind of speaking out. I know the Lord hears me, but I'm kind of just speaking to the air. And that kind of, I don't know if you feel this way, sometimes I feel this way, the communication is somewhat broken. You know, in a conversation with a human being, you have the two-way interaction. When you're praying to the Lord, it's all one way. And then to hear from the Lord, you've got to open the Word and hear what God has to say to you in return. And so it's a different form of communication. And yet the Lord does want our fellowship. The Lord does want us to go to Him and ask of Him. And, you know, we are to treat the Lord as though He's our friend, He's our Father. I mean, if my children came to me and just had this repetitious way to talk to me without meaning, without purpose, it'd kind of break my heart a little bit to think, oh, my children, do you not want to have a relationship with me? Do you not care about our interaction? And so I was just thinking about my prayer life, and I know this is easy in the prayer life of others for it to be kind of this, you know, this sort of thing that if I do it, I do it. If I forget, I forget. It doesn't really matter. The Lord knows what I need. But I want you to understand that the Lord wants our fellowship. He wants to hear from us. And so I hope I give you some pointers. I've got 8 pointers this afternoon of how we can enrich our prayer life. We will come back to Ephesians 6, but come with me to James chapter 4. Come with me to James chapter 4. Come with me to James chapter 4. And so as I said, I've got 8 points as to how you can enrich your prayer life. You see, the first thing that you need to do when you go before the Lord is just remind yourself of who you're speaking to. You're speaking of the Creator of all things. You're speaking of the one who knitted you in your mother's womb. You're speaking to the one that gives you the very breath that you can breathe today. You're speaking to the one that has placed you on the earth and at this time to live your life. You're speaking to the one who, if not for His great love, you know, has the right to cast you into hellfire for all eternity. His justice and His judgment is righteous. He's a holy God and we are not holy. You know, we are sinful creatures. We have a sinful nature. And it's important to remind yourself as you come to pray, who are you dealing with exactly? Who are you speaking to? Is the God of all things, is the Creator of all things, and is the one that has given you everlasting life. And so the first point that I have for you, brethren, is that you need to humble yourself. Remind yourself of who you are. And look, there's this sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's this sort of thought that you need to understand, yes, I am coming to speak to my Lord God, but at the same time, I'm a saved child of God. You know, you're not just a piece of trash. You're not just a sinner, and God does not care for you. Of course He cared for you so much that He's given you everlasting life and He's made you part of His family. And in Christ Jesus, He sees you through the righteousness of Christ. And so you are someone important. I'm not trying to remove that importance away from you. You are a child of God. You're saved. You're part of His family. He's your Father. You can call Him Abba Father. And you come running to Him like a child can come running to your parents to share their concerns. You can do those things. But at the same time, don't lose sight that you're dealing with the God of the universe. Don't lose sight that you're dealing with an almighty being. You know, someone who is far superior from us when it comes to our nature. And so it's important that you come and just humble yourself. You know, and man, who am I speaking? I'm speaking to the Lord God. I'm speaking to the one that can change, supernaturally change the events of tomorrow or even the events of today, you know, simply by, you know, listening to my request and doing things according to His will. And look at James chapter 4, verse number 8. James chapter 4, verse number 8. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. I really love that. I don't know about you, but when I feel that I'm in sin or I'm far from the Lord, I almost don't want to go in the presence of the Lord. Because I feel like, Lord, I'm so ashamed. I don't want to, oh man, Lord, it's the same sin that I've struggled with for the past 10 years, potentially. And I still can't have victory, and there might be this shameful feeling to come before the Lord. But you know, as soon as you make the decision, I'm going to go to the Lord, I don't care. I'm going to draw nigh to Him. He draws nigh to you. Like every step that you take is actually really 2 steps because the Lord has drawn close to you as well. It says, look at this, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And this is the situation we find ourselves in. I wish we could maintain a cleanly life every minute of every day. And then I can just come before God boldly. Well, we should come boldly because we're His children, but I can come before Him without the shame of being a sinner. But we're instructed here to cleanse your hands, you sinners. You know, we ought to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I've sinned against you as well, again, you know, and that requires humility, you know, to come before God broken and contrite. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Look at verse number 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and I love that part, and he shall lift you up. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just my nature. Maybe you guys don't have this problem. I don't know. But I know when I've sinned against the Lord, I almost don't even want to open my mouth to him. Because, oh, I've done it again, Lord. You've given me victory. You've given me your Holy Spirit. You've given me your word. You've made me a pastor. And I'm meant to teach God's people, and yet I still fail, Lord. And I almost don't want to go to, and I just think about, oh man, how can I come to the Lord? It's pride, of course, it's pride. It's the ego, it's all that, you know, lowering yourself, humbling yourself. It's not an easy thing to do. But the Lord says that if we do this, if we come afflicted, if we come and mourn and we weep before him, if we let our laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. See, the Lord wants you to come to him humbly. When it comes time to pray, remind yourself again, who am I speaking to? He's a holy God. He cannot have darkness. You know, he's a God of light, and there is no darkness in him at all. And I know the darkness that's in my heart, and the Lord knows the darkness that's in my heart. Slowing yourself, humbling yourself, because the Lord's going to lift you up. When he sees that, he will lift you up. You can go through that time of prayer, and you've come with heaviness and sorrow, and now you're lifted up. Okay? Again, the pride can sometimes get in the way. Okay? Because the pride means you're trying to lift yourself up. You're trying to, I'm not that bad. Or surely, I don't need to go to the Lord about this situation. But we need to, and he will lift you up. The Lord loves it when you come humbly before him. And Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. See, God will despise a prideful heart. God will despise a heart that doesn't want to go to him when we know we need to go to him. And so it requires humility. And humility is not easy. It's so contrary to it. Again, maybe some of you are like, oh, that's easy for me, Pastor. That's not actually being humble, by the way. But it's not easy for me. I don't think it's easy for anybody. Okay? Because we like to be in the right. It's hard to bring yourself and break yourself and turn to mourn and say, Lord, please help. It's hard. It's actually a hard thing to do. You know, we're kind of self-made. We think of ourselves sometimes as self-made people. You know, we've done this for ourselves or we've done that. And again, this, you know, here in Australia, anyway, here on the Sunshine Coast, the reason so many people are not receptive to the Lord is because they think of themselves being self-made. Self-made. They don't need the Lord. They don't need to be broken. They don't need to consider their sinful state in the sight of a holy God. But you know, brethren, to enrich your prayer life, I want you to walk out of your... I don't want you to just say a prayer, right? Say my prayer, and then like there's no change in you. There's nothing. There's no benefit. There's no value. You know, if we come humbly, God promises that he's going to lift us up. If we come broken, the Lord promises he's going to elevate us. He's going to make us feel victorious. He's going to give us that clean feeling in our hearts, even if it's just for a period of time, that we know we're right with God at this very moment, and I can go forth in my life and do things for him and serve him. You're in James. Come with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And verse number 5. James chapter 1, verse number 5. Between service, we're talking to, Brother Jordan's got a lot of questions, right, about life. And, you know, you tend to. We all have questions. And we all have decisions to make in life, don't we? We all have decisions to make. And it's nice to be able to go to, you know, men in the church and ask questions and to... maybe feel it's like gaps, certain gaps in that you might have in your knowledge. But the next thing that I have for you, brethren, when you go to pray or to enrich your life is to ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God. You know, the Lord knows you. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows your future. The Lord knows the decisions that we need to make in life. But we need to go to him for wisdom. And as much as I appreciate the growth that I've had in the Lord over the years and grew up in a Christian home and being able to have the profession where I can open God's Word and study it, I realize I still don't have the wisdom. You know, there's never an end to wisdom. There's never an end to new situations. There's never an end to new problems or new issues. You can't get to the end of it. You never get to the point where I know every decision. I'll always make the best, decision in life. It's not always that case. And what I love about James chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And, you know, this reminds me of King Solomon. Remember when David gave King Solomon, he was going to take the kingdom from his father David? And I love King Solomon's heart at the very beginning. He goes before God and says, God, I'm just a child. I'm a child. We're talking about that, right? We're 23 or whatever, 25. We're like, we're still children. Solomon's like, this job to take, to lead this entire nation, it's too great for me. And he says, I'm just a child in your sight. And he asks God for wisdom. And God is so pleased that he not only gives him wisdom, but he gives him the riches and the power and all the, he gives him everything that Solomon could ever desire in a kingdom. And we need to go to ask the Lord for wisdom. You know, sometimes you're like, Lord, I've got this situation. I've got options. I don't know the best move forward. I don't have the information that I need to make this decision. So the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And look, there's nothing wrong with asking your pastor. There's nothing wrong with asking people in the church. There is wisdom here. There is experience here. But don't let it replace the wisdom that you ask from God. Because God's wisdom is always correct. Like, my experience is just my experience. It might not be the best answer. My advice is just my advice. It might not be the best advice. But you see, God's wisdom is always the best. If any of you lack wisdom, let it ask of God, and I love it, that giveth to all men liberally, that's freely, and upbraideth not, meaning that he's not going to get upset with you when you ask for wisdom, and it shall be given him. He's not going to get upset with you. He's not going to hold back the wisdom. You say, Lord, I'm in this situation. I need wisdom. The Lord says, thank you for asking. I'm so proud. I'm so glad that you've asked of me. Here it is freely. You don't need to even pay for it. Here it is. I often think about how much has God, because God knows what we need before we ask of him. How many times does God have our answer in his hand? It might be wisdom in this situation. And it's right there in his hand, and we're like, we're going through life, struggling, don't know what to do, what does the future hold, what's the best decision? And the Lord's like, I'm just holding it there. And it's like, why don't you just ask? It's there, I've got it for you. And I know by my own experience that when I've lacked wisdom and I've gone, Lord, give me wisdom, he gives it to you. Like, he really does. He finds a way, either it's in my own time of studying God's word. How many times do I hear from people, even from this church? Pastor, I was just thinking about that topic this week, and then you preached on it on Sunday, and he gave me the answer. How many times do I hear that from you guys? Is it because I know your thought life? Is it because I'm answering, I don't know anything? Or I've been in church, and I've been thinking about a certain issue, and then my pastor preaches on that issue. Like, it's not a coincidence. You know what? The Lord wants to give you wisdom. The Lord wants to give you guidance. Ask of it. Ask the Lord for wisdom. And he'll give it to you. And verse number 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know what that means? When you ask for wisdom, have the faith that he's going to give you the wisdom. Don't be like, oh, I don't know, Lord. I've got this situation. I don't think maybe you have the answer. Or even if you do have the answer, Lord, I don't think you're going to give it to me. The Lord will give it to you. But if you're wavering, you're not going to receive it. Wisdom. I'll read to you quickly from Proverbs 4:7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. That's Proverbs 4:7. What is the principal thing? The principal means the primary thing, the first thing. Wisdom. We need wisdom. We need understanding. We need knowledge. I feel like I'm never going to get to the end of knowing things. I'm never going to get to the end of getting the wisdom of God. It's not going to get to that point. And I hope you don't feel like I've learned all I can learn in life. Nothing's going to take me by surprise, because it will. Things will take you by surprise. And you say, I don't know what to do. Am I stupid? I'm inferior. I don't know what to do in this situation. Am I just stupid? No. That's the time for you to go, Lord, please give me your wisdom. And I have the faith that you're going to give it to me. That's how you enrich your prayer life. Now, I'm giving you these things to think about, because maybe there are areas in your life that you can fix in your prayer life. Sometimes I look back at my prayer life and I'm like, I just don't know if I've been praying properly. Like, I've been going to God, I've been opening my mouth. But again, it's like, am I just going for a process? Am I speaking to my Lord as though he's a, because he is a real being? You know, if my kids came to me and spoke to me the way that I speak to the Lord, would I enjoy this interaction? That's how I kind of think about it sometimes. Our prayers can get repetitive, can't they? And look, I'm skipping ahead of my notes. Of course, when we come to church, we're praying publicly. You know, we're praying for the service. Of course, there's going to be repetition, because we're going through the same. We're singing praises. We want the Lord to be praised. We want him to be worshipped. There's going to be some level of repetition. You know, church, usually we do things. There's a way of doing things. There's, you know, things have to be done decently and in order. Okay, the Bible instructs us. And so there's going to be that kind of repetitive nature of church, and that's okay. But when you have your personal time with the Lord, you know, just think about, is the Lord pleased with my prayer life? Does he enjoy my company? Because look, if you're talking to somebody and you've got no interest in what they're saying to you, and you can tell they're not interested in you, don't you kind of like want to walk away from that conversation? And I'm not saying that's what the Lord will do to you, but I don't want him to have that emotion toward my prayer to him, where it's just, you're just going through the motion, you don't really love me, you don't really want to spend time with me, you don't want to fellowship with me, but you're just doing it to tick the box. You're doing it because you know you need to pray. I want to make sure, as I'm going through this myself, that I want to improve my prayer life. I want to make sure that I'm asking for the right things, and that I'm prioritizing the right things, and that I'm thinking of my Lord as a real being, not just that I'm speaking in the air. This is why we need the faith. We need the faith that the Lord will hear us, the Lord will answer us, and the Lord will liberally, freely give us the wisdom. He'll give us the direction in life. Sometimes, life can give you so many options, and you're like, I don't know what to do. Then 2 weeks later, I don't know what to do. 6 months later, I don't know what to do. A year later, I don't know what to do. But did I go to God? Did I ask him? Maybe I haven't. Again, the pride, you think you're smart enough to figure things out, but you're not, brethren, I'm not. Lord, give me wisdom. Second point that I have for you is ask for wisdom. Point number one was humble yourself. Point number two is ask for wisdom. Can you come with me to Psalm 86, please? Psalm 86. There are many psalms that we could turn to. This kind of phrase appears many times in the Psalms. And by the way, if you struggle to pray, I'll give you my tip. I've shared it before. Because I've had times where I've struggled to pray. And what I've done is I've just opened the Psalms, and I've read the psalm, and I said, Lord, what that psalm says is what I want to say to you, but I just don't have the words for it. I don't know how to communicate what I'm trying to say to you, Lord. I'll find a psalm that touches me and go, yep, that's actually how I'm feeling. That's those are the words that I want to say to you, Lord. Don't forget, the Psalms is a songbook. You know what's good about opening the hymn books and we can sing to the Lord? There are beautiful words. Beautiful words that won't come naturally from me, but I want to say them to the Lord. And the song helps me communicate that to the Lord. The psalm, that's what the Psalms is for. It helps us communicate. Learn how to communicate to the Lord and how to express oneself when maybe naturally you might be more of an introverted person, even in your prayer life, and you need a bit of help in that regard. And some of my sweetest prayers have been just that. Lord, I've read this psalm, that's what I want for me. That's the situation that I find myself in. Those are the words that I want to say to you, but I just don't know how to do it in my own ability. And so, Lord, these words of this psalm, that's my prayer to you. But the thing that I want to say here in Psalm 86, look at verse number 3. Psalm 86, verse number 3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Brethren, in order to enrich your prayer life, you need to pray daily. You need to pray every day. You know, pray every day. I'm not talking about just, Lord, thank you for the food. You know, I'm not saying, Lord, just help me in the start of the day. You know, as I get up in the morning. Or, Lord, you know, thank you for the day you've given me as you hit your pillow. And Lord, help me to have a good sleep tonight and a restful sleep. I'm talking about your communication. Do you have a time, brethren, where you just spend with the Lord every day? I'm not talking about a sweet hour of prayer necessarily. Though if you can have a sweet hour of prayer, go for it. I find an hour of prayer very hard. Okay, but I'm just talking about, do you have a moment of your day where you just open your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, this is my situation. Pray every day. It says here, be merciful unto me. The psalmist is having some issues. He's got some sin that he needs to confess. The psalmist feels far from the Lord. You know, the psalmist knows that the Lord's hand of chastisement should be upon him. So it says, be merciful to me, for I cry unto thee daily. See, the good thing about daily, there's both pros and cons. When you do something repetitive on a regular basis, again, it can become, you know, just a checkbox. Yep, I've prayed. Yep, you know, went to church, whatever it is that you do. But the good thing about doing things daily is that you develop that habit. It becomes part of your life. You know, I need to spend time with my Lord, okay? I need just 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, where I open His Word and I hear some great truth from my Lord, and now I can express my needs to Him. The Lord loves your fellowship. Why did He save you? Yes, to bring you to heaven. You know, and we know that we're going to see Christ, we're going to see the Lord, actually, the Father, face to face when we're with Him. Why does He want us to be face to face to Him, what do you think? Just to look at our face? The Lord knows what our face looks like. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to be in fellowship with us. You know, God in His nature is social. That's why He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, God is not one person. God is three persons. And God wants your time. He wants your fellowship. He wants your love and appreciation toward Him. Pray daily. Get into that habit. Because look, if I was ringing you up every day and we had a sweet phone call, not that I'm going to do that, sorry, I don't have time. But if I did, wouldn't that enrich our relationship? You know, and it wasn't just a phone call where we're just repeating the same words over and over again, but it's meaningful. You know, I'm hearing from you, you're hearing from me. You know, I'm sharing my faults towards you and pray for me, brother. Well, you know, we need to go to the Lord every day. Ask for His mercy every day because we sin every day. You know, and cry unto the Lord every day, because every day we have needs. Every day we have something that we need the Lord to come through for us with. Pray every day. You know, the Bible says in Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. To pray always, not to faint. Have you gone through days where you've not prayed? Is there a day this week that you've not prayed? Say, yep, that was me, because he fainted. You gave up. He said, not today, Lord, I don't have time for you. And to enrich your prayer life, again, pray daily to develop that habit is what I'm trying to say. Not to check the box, I've done the prayer. Because that's not going to please the Lord, you just check the box. You know, again, our hearts need to be there. I want to be with the Lord. And even if my flesh doesn't want to be with my Lord, I know the new man within me wants to be with the Lord. And it's time for me to crucify that old man, okay? Put on the new man, because that is the new man. That is the man that loves the Lord. That is the man that loves to be in fellowship with my Lord. Pray daily. Can you find time? Can you find 10 minutes, 15 minutes? Because you know you spend more time on social media than that time that you spend with the Lord. You know you spend more time watching the TV than you spend time with the Lord. Okay, you know you spend more time in your relationships and your friendships than you spend with the Lord. Can you just find 10 minutes, 15 minutes, sweet hour of prayer sometimes with the Lord to be with Him? speak to him, love him, show him that you appreciate him. He's done so much for us. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is where we had the reading from, of course. Ephesians 6. And by the way, all of these points are areas in my life that I need to fix. Sometimes in my sermons are like, okay, I want to preach these things to my church. A lot of my sermons, believe it or not, are like, what do I need to fix in my Christian life? I'll just preach about it. Because if I have to fix it, probably someone else has to fix it. Like, all these points are things that I'm trying to fix in my prayer life. Okay? So then, as I go through them, you're like, oh, the pastor's struggling in that area. Yeah, then pray for me as well. And I'll pray for you as well, that we can improve our prayer life. But Ephesians 6:18, praying always, so that's like pray every day, with all prayer, praying always with all prayer. Okay, so obviously when we say praying, we often talk about, okay, speak to the Lord. But don't forget, praying means ask. Asking, that's what it actually means. I pray thee, I'm asking of thee, okay? Praying always with all prayer. So in other words, everything that you need to ask for, take it to the Lord. Everything that you need. Look, all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Look at this. And supplication for all saints. You know what? When you're done praying for all the things you need, now think about everyone in church. What do they need? And bring all those supplications of all the saints. And if you know anyone else outside of our church that's a believer, bring their request before the Lord as well. Not even that's going to take longer than 30 seconds. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Help me today. Give me my needs. You know what I need, Lord. Amen. That's going to take some time. You're going to need a good 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You're going to need that sweet hour of prayer to bring all your requests. Isn't it strange how often we don't bring our requests before the Lord? And I don't know what this is. Again, say it's the flesh, it's pride, it's all that. It probably is, but like, I know that my God answers prayers. I know that He hears my prayers. And I know He's answered so many times, and He's answered it even better than I've wanted in my life. And yet, I have a need, I have a requirement from the Lord, and I just refuse to go to the Lord about it. And I don't really understand that. I don't know, can you relate to that? But what we learn here, and I guess maybe the Lord knows that about me or knows that about you, and this is why He's just given us a clear direction. Just bring all your prayers. Bring all your needs to me. Even though it might seem so insignificant, it might look so little, or you might think, I've got it handled, Lord, don't worry about it. I've got other needs that I don't think I can handle. I'll give them to you. But here are other things that I know I can handle, so don't worry about it, Lord. I'm not going to bring those in prayer to you. No, I think I've learned the lesson. Even the things that I think I can handle, there's still needs, there's still requirements. I still need to take that to the Lord. Still. And then all the needs of our church members. By the way, if you can make the midweek service, if you haven't come, we do ask for prayer requests. And look, if anyone brings up prayer requests like we had one this morning, keep that in mind during the week. Please pray about those things. You know, our brethren, each one of us have needs and requirements. It's not just us. We all have something. And, you know, Wednesday nights is a good time because after the sermon, we ask of any prayer requests, any needs. Sometimes praise points. And I don't record that. I don't put that on YouTube because I don't want the whole world to know about everyone's issues. Okay, because obviously there are some things that you're willing to share amongst your church members, but not necessarily to the whole world. So we don't put that on the live stream. But if you're able to make a midweek service and come and pray and hear the needs of others. I remember, because the reason I do this is because one of my churches down in Sydney, Victory Baptist Church, they will do this on Wednesdays. And I realized, wow, people have needs. I didn't realize, like, you go to Sunday and, you know, we put in our Sunday best and God bless you, brother, see you next week. But then when I went on Wednesday and then I heard the prayer requests and I had no idea. I really had, not that I didn't love them, not that I didn't think God, they needed God for certain areas, but it really opened my understanding of how many needs people have. And then it helps you not to be so focused on your own needs. Because you're like, I seem to be handling it all right. But brother, man, he's in bad state. I didn't realize how bad this person's sickness was. I didn't realize this person has cancer. I didn't realize this person is struggling financially. I didn't realize this person, you know, you start to all these things. I didn't realize this person didn't have a mum and dad. You know, I didn't realize this person, marriage is falling apart. I didn't realize their kids hate them. And it just, you know, all of a sudden it's like, wow, my people in church, they're real people. They're real struggles. And Lord, you've given me the honor to not just bring my requests before you, but then to hear the needs of others and bring their requests before you. So point four, brethren, is bring all your needs, even the things that you don't think you need God's help with. Just bring it all and the needs of others. But again, that requires thought, doesn't it? It requires time. And many times we're not willing to give the Lord that time. Because I got to get to work. Got to get busy. Got to go and eat. Got to go and check Facebook. Whatever it is. And we forget to give God the time, the thought. What am I going to talk to him about? You know, sometimes I meet up with people from church or, you know, Pastor, can I talk to you about something? You know, and I'm coming. When I do that, I'm coming thinking, this person has something, and if I know a little bit, I'm trying to think about Bible verses or, you know, what I could say to this individual. I'm giving it thought as I come to meet with somebody, okay? But do I do the same thing for my Lord? I don't think so. You say, well, the Lord knows everything that you need. Yeah, but you can see here sometimes he's got it available to us, and we're just refusing to ask. And all it takes is to ask, and there it is many times. Bring all your needs and the needs of others. Can you come with me to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4. You know, this is one. These are some of my favorite verses. I often preach on these verses because it's so true. Philippians 4, 6, please. Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. How is that possible? Be careful for nothing. What that means is don't be full of care. Don't be full of care about nothing. Have no worries. No fears. Go, what in the world? That's a big thing to ask of me, Lord. Be careful for nothing. So what's the answer? But, this is how you're careful for nothing. But in everything, look at that, everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why do we fear? Why do we worry? Now we know why. Because we don't bring everything to him. I've got it handled, Lord. Don't worry about it. Man, how foolish. How foolish can we be? And then verse number 7. And once you've done that, this is why you need your sweet hour of prayer. This is why you need your half an hour with the Lord sometimes. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You want the peace of God in your life where you're not worried about anything? Well, you've got to bring everything to the Lord. Everything. And leave it with the Lord. Leave it with the Lord. It says, which passeth all understanding. No one understands. This world cannot understand the peace of God. You have the blessing. You can understand the peace of God. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's never been times where I've been like, woohoo, I'm full of God's peace. I have no worries. Of course, there are moments in life like that. We all have spiritual highs and we have spiritual lows. We have highs and lows. We have highs and lows. Today might be a good day with the Lord. Tomorrow might be a bad day. You know, we all go through those times. Don't get me wrong, but how many times am I neglecting the peace of God because I refuse to bring everything to him? I refuse to bring all my needs to him. Again, why do we do that? I don't. If you guys can give me an answer after the service, please tell me. I don't understand it because I know, like I said, I know he answers. I know he hears, and I know he loves to hear from me, and he loves to hear from you. So why do we refuse? What's that stubbornness? And sometimes I read about in the Bible, the Jews, stiff-necked people. And I'm like, oh, how do they do that? And then I look at my own life, I'm like, oh, yeah. I can be stiff-necked. You know, you can be stiff-necked. We can refuse to come before the Lord when we need Him the most. Please come with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. For those of you that are married tonight, this afternoon I should say, do you love your spouse? Like when you think of your wife or you think of your husband, can you say, Pastor, I love my wife. Pastor, I love my husband. You know, we spend time together. You know, we can appreciate each other's strengths and we can kind of put up with each other's weaknesses. We've gotten used to each other. Even the bad habits, the love overshadows the bad habits. the love overshadows the defects because none of us are perfect. You know, marriage is for life. Did you know that? It's for life. You can have a really sad life or you can have a really joyful life. And man, you know, if your marriage has struggles, please fix it. Please, you know, that's the person for the rest of your life. Besides the Lord God, we know He comes first, but that person that you're married to, they are the most important person on this earth that God has put you with. Okay? And why are you saying this? Because it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Can you see that? If we have a marriage that's on the rocks, if we're not enjoying our partner, I don't like the word partner, because that's the... If we're not loving our spouse and enjoying our spouse, you're going to hurt your prayer life. That your prayers be not hindered. If you're not taking care, husbands, of your wives, if you're not honoring your wife, your prayer is going to be hindered. That's God's promise to you. So number one, the person that I married, I want to be happy with her because I'm going to be with her for the rest of my life. I want to enjoy her company. But number two, if I don't, you know, if we don't appreciate each other, my prayers are going to be hindered. Look how important your spouse is to the Lord God. Because you can't treat the person that I've given you for the rest of your life properly. You can't get along. You keep having conflicts and you don't love each other and you just focus on the problems that everybody in the world has and you can't appreciate the good things they give to you. Then I refuse to answer your prayers. I refuse to hear your prayers then. It's pretty serious, don't you think? May your prayers be not hindered. The fifth point that I have for you, brethren, is develop a strong marriage. Develop a strong marriage. And you say, Pastor, you don't know my wife. Pastor, you don't know my husband. But we all know, because I know the limitations of my wife. I know she's not always the wife that I want her to be. But then I know I'm not always the husband that she wants me to be. Is that right? She wants me to be, yeah. Sorry, but I mean, you know, and same for you. What do you expect? What do you expect? A perfect person? See, being with your spouse, it teaches us how to love, you know, someone that isn't perfect. And then we can understand how God loved us, who are not perfect. We're far from it. We come short of the glory of God. And yet, with His great love, He was willing to sacrifice His Son to save you. So why can't we just get along with our wife? Why can't we just get along with the husband? You know, we want to enrich our prayer life. Then you need to develop a strong marriage. The Bible says there, husbands, that your wife is a weaker vessel. You know, she's weaker physically, we know that. And she may very well be, generally speaking, weaker emotionally. Okay, she might be weaker spiritually. Remember, it was not Adam that was deceived by the devil, but it was Eve. You say, well, then why did Adam eat of that tree? He just made the choice. He chose wrong. Okay? But the woman was deceived. And husbands, you've been given this authority to to what dwell with them according to knowledge. Know what they're like. Understand God is telling you they are weaker. God is telling you they're not going to be like one of the boys. They're not going to act and respond like men. Men, sometimes we can control those emotions more so than our wives. And then when our wives have those emotional responses, we get frustrated. Why can't you be more like me? Because she's a woman. Because she's the weaker vessel. But even in that state, you are to honor your wife. I'm glad that we got to honor mothers, you know, a week ago for Mother's Day. Because women are important, so important to the Lord. When the Lord gives you your wife, God says, look after her, love her, cherish her, and I'll answer your prayers. I'll make sure we have a great prayer life together if you look after this person that I've given you for the rest of your life. Develop a strong marriage. Develop a strong marriage. Come with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14. And it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that are desired of him. But what is this asking us? This is saying that we can get to the point where we can ask the Lord of anything, and we know he hears us and is going to grant us those petitions. But what is the criteria? The criteria is to ask, it says that if we ask anything according to his will. The point number six, brethren, is learn the will of God. Learn the will of God. And this is the process, this is part of growing as a Christian. You know, growing and understanding the scriptures more. The more you know the scriptures, the more you know the will of God. You say, Pastor, I don't know what God's will for me is. Open the Bible and find out. First of all, God is not willing that any should perish, but come, willing that any should perish, but should all come to repentance. That's God's will number one. How about we go and preach the gospel? I don't know what to do with my life. It's in the Bible. Pick up God's word. You know, something that I've found amazing answers to prayer has been when I've just opened God's word. I know what he promises me. What God says to me, that's his will. Not necessarily what I say to God is not necessarily his will, but what he says to me and what he instructs me, what he commands of me is his will. There are many times that I just open the Bible as I pray and say, Lord, your word says this. Can you please give me that? According to your word, according to your will, Lord, you've promised this. You've said this. You want me to do this. You want me to achieve that. It's kind of like what I mentioned about when I struggle to pray, I go to the Psalms. Similar approach. I just open God's word and say, God, that's what you say. That's your word. That must be your will. Therefore, can you please answer that prayer? Can you please give me what I've heard in your word? Can you please fulfill your will? And the Bible says if we ask according to his will, he answers. I know, as a teenager, I prayed for a lot of things that are just my will. That's why I never got them answered. The more I knew the Bible, that's not what God wants from me. That's why he didn't answer. And now I can ask according to his will for me, because it's always the best. Being in God's will is always the best will to be in. Learn the will of God. You've got to learn the Bible. You've got to open God's word and find what he wants for your life. You know, it's not this cryptic, what's God's will for me? You know, I don't know, and I've just got to, you know, cry on my knees. What you have to do is just open God's word and read it. And everything, all the promises, you know, all the things he asks of us. You know, if he asks us to live a holy life, then that must be possible. If we learn that, you know, according to the Bible, that we can have victory over sin, then that must be God's will for me, to have victory over certain sins. And so I'll open that to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what you want for me. This is your will. Can you please answer this prayer? And when I started doing that, I've seen a lot more answers to prayer. And when I started to pray according to His will, it seems like every prayer gets answered. Again, it's not my desires or some special power that I've developed. It's just, Lord, what You want, make that happen. I think Christ say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, God's will is done, but not necessarily on the earth. So Lord, the same influence that You have in heaven, I want that influence in my life. So I can live a life that is according to Your will. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 138, verse 2, I'll just read it. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And then these famous words. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. What's being magnified by the Lord more than His own name? His word. Wow. So Lord, if You've magnified Your word above Your name, I mean, what is higher than Your word? There's nothing higher. So Lord, that's what the Bible says. Again, I may not know how to ask of You, but Lord, that's what You say. That's what You promise. That's Your will in my life. Can You make it happen? I'm not asking my own selfish desires here, Lord. This is what You're saying to me. This is what You want from me. You know, can You please fulfill that for me, Lord? So learn the will of God. And I don't think God minds You challenging Him with His own word. It's His word. It's His word. You know, I often think about prayer like an arm wrestle sort of thing. Not that what you're looking for with the Lord is this mutually agreeable outcome. You know, what the Lord wants, and that's going to be best for me. I often think about Jacob. You know, when Jacob all night long wrestled with Jesus Christ. You know that story? Okay? And it's Christ because He gets identified as God. He gets identified as a man. The only God-man is Jesus Christ. You know, it's an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And Jacob's wrestling all night with Him. And the Lord says, hey, you know, the sun's coming up and, you know, I'm just paraphrasing, you know, let go of me. Okay, we're done. And Jacob goes, well, I'm not letting you go until I receive a blessing. And then the Lord says, well, then, you know, your name will be Israel because you're a prince. And you have power over with God and with men. You know, prayer gives you power. When you go to the Lord and just give Him a bit of a wrestle and say, Lord, Your word says this and I need it right now, Lord. If this is Your will, as it says, according to Your word, you're going to the Lord, you're challenging Him as it were in a wrestling match, you know, and say, Lord, please answer. Please bless me. Please give me the answer. Lord, please come through with Your power. Prayer is such a powerful tool. Such a powerful tool, you know. And so I want you to enrich your prayer life. You know, I want you to walk away knowing that God has heard me, God will fulfill, God will answer these prayers. And I'm not just going through the motions. You know, in this interaction with God, He has seen that I've truly loved Him, and boy, I enjoyed His presence too. Boy, I enjoyed the time that I spent with my Lord. And now I can get through the day without worries, without fears, because I know the Lord has heard me. I know that I've spoken to Him according to His will. Come with me to Mark 9. Mark 9. Mark 9. Verse 24. Mark 9, 24. Mark 9, 24. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. See, his son had an evil spirit within him. He says, Lord, I know You can heal him. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. In other words, like, I believe, but there are doubts. I believe, but I don't think I really believe. I don't know. I think I believe, Lord, but whatever unbelief I have, can You help me, Lord? Because I know I need to go and pray in faith. I know I need to pray without doubting. I know when I pray, I can't be tossed to and fro. Verse number 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting." The seventh point that I have for you, brethren, is mix your prayer with fasting. Mix your prayer with, I'm not saying every day, because you need food, okay? But we need to develop this habit, and we haven't done it in a while as a church. We've done it maybe in the five or so years that we've been as a church, we may have four times we've had a time of a church fast and say, you know, guys, we have these needs, we have these requirements. You know, it seems like we're praying for the same things, or we don't just seem to be finding an answer to this. You know, we believe, but maybe help thou my unbelief, and look, maybe we need to mix fasting. You know, can we have a night of fasting? And look, we do that as a church, the whole. But you need to learn as well. There are things that you're asking of the Lord, seemingly restricted, seemingly doesn't seem to be answered the way that you know it needs to be answered. You see, it's a world that cannot be seen by our physical eyes, but there is a spiritual world out there. Okay, there are devils out there. There's Satan, and I know the devil would want nothing more than to hinder this church and to hinder your life. Okay? And sometimes, without realizing, the disciples didn't realize. The Lord, obviously, Jesus knew. Sometimes we don't realize that we're being hindered or prevented by some foul spirit, by some evil spirit. Okay? It's hard to wrap your head around that because we don't see it. It's an unseen world, but it's true. According to God's word, it's out there. And sometimes our prayers are not being enriched, they're not being answered the way we think, or it just seems like, why isn't this coming through? When I know it's God's will. It might be that you need a bit of fasting. Come with me to Acts 13. Mix prayer with fasting. Because again, you know, we're seeking God's will when we pray. And we know that within us we have the dual nature, the flesh and the spirit. You know, and these are things contrary one to another. And we want the spiritual man to win. And that's the one that prays properly and receives things from the Lord. And where am I going with that? Oh, yeah. Because of our flesh. We know that our flesh has needs. And you know, these needs are not wrong and sinful of themselves. We need to eat. Yeah, we need to eat. But when you fast, what you're doing, what you're demonstrating, what you're telling your flesh is, I'm not giving you what you want. I know you want to eat right now. I know you're hungry right now, but I'm not going to give you what you want, flesh. I'm seeking to be in the spiritual man. I'm seeking the Lord to be pleased and to look down and see my humility and see my brokenness and see that these things are heavy upon my heart. And so for a brief period, you ugly flesh, you're going to stand aside while I spend my time with my Lord in spirit. And so fasting is powerful as well. Mixing prayer with fasting somehow unlocks, you know, spiritual doors that can be hindered by the enemy. But not only is fasting needed when you find yourself kind of being restricted in certain areas. You know my favorite, let me share with you my favorite story of fasting. And it's right here at New Life Baptist Church. And I think it's the first time that we fast as a church. To me, it's so clear as day. Where we would go soul winning, I think 2 or 3 months, and we were just, it was just dry. Nobody was getting saved. We were barely getting the gospel out to people. We were barely able to plant seeds. And I just kind of thought, man, the Sunshine Coast, What a dry place. And it is a bit dry place. But, you know, I just thought, man, well, Lord, why did you bring me here? I mean, this place is so unreceptive. And I don't think it was my idea. I think someone shared it with me. Why don't we pray and fast? So we did. We had a Wednesday night, prayer and fasting. Okay. I hope, you know, I think, I'm not sure if everyone did, but several of us, you know, refrained from eating that day. We came before the Lord and we just prayed. And the big burden on our hearts was, Lord, we just don't seem to be winning people to the Lord. What's going on? And it's amazing. The next weekend, I think it was two salvations. And it was like weekend after weekend after weekend. Just every week for the next, I don't know how long, there was always a salvation. And look, we've been praying for people to get saved. But when we mix the fasting, something changed. And I can't even give you the full answer to that. But I know it works. You want to enrich your prayer life, mix some fasting. Acts 13 verse 1, just quickly. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. You see, they're just serving the Lord. This church decided, look, let's have a church fast. They fasted together here. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. You see, fasting is also good to further the ministry of our church. Maybe there are certain challenges that we're dealing with as a church. Maybe the Lord wants certain ministries. Like I think of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That was a ministry of our church to begin with. It is now its own church. But that was, you know, the work. And sometimes God wants a greater output from our church. But we need to mix the fasting. You know, in this situation, the Holy Spirit made it very clear that Barnabas and Saul should be sent out as missionaries, going out to the Gentile nations, starting churches, winning lost, you know, souls to the Lord, etc., etc. So, brethren, we need to mix prayer with fasting. Please don't neglect fasting. I'm not saying necessarily do it every day. I'm not saying necessarily do it every week. But, you know, every now and again, when you just say, you know what, there is something withholding us or something withholding me. There's some block that I can't really comprehend. Mix some fasting and see what God can do for you. Come with me to Matthew chapter 6. I've got my last point now. Matthew chapter 6. And it's kind of with what I started with as I started this sermon. But Matthew 6, verse 7. Jesus, these are the words of Christ. It says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, you can do much speaking, much praying, but if it's just vain repetition, it doesn't please the Lord. So what I was kind of saying to you earlier. You know, we often think about, like, say, the Roman Catholics. In fact, I don't know if it was my wife, because she was a Roman Catholic when I met her. I don't know if it was my wife or someone else said to me once, they were surprised with how we pray. Because they're used to having some type of prayer book. Okay, say that prayer, and you need forgiveness of sins. Say 10 Hail Marys. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Say 10 Our Fathers, Our Father, Our Father, Our Father, Our Father. But now you're right with God. And Christ says, don't use vain repetitions. And I can't remember if it was my wife or some friend that was a Roman Catholic. They were kind of surprised. Oh, you just talk to God. Like, don't you have the ritual? Don't you have the, you know, everything downright exactly? You know, these are things that we've heard from Christian forefathers in the past. These are the right prayers to pray. And you just speak to God openly. But I like that about our faith. I don't want the vain repetition. Do you want our conversation every Sunday to be the exact same conversation? No. Do you think God wants the same conversation every day that you spend time with Him? See, we often think about the Roman Catholics and the way the heathen have vain repetition. But you know, the Baptists can have vain repetition. We can just go, dear Lord, thank you today. Thank you for the food. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, thanks, Lord. I've ticked box. Done. Every day. That's the vain repetitions. It means nothing. It doesn't enrich your relationship, your fellowship with God. Let's backtrack a little bit in that same chapter. Look at verse number 5. Christ says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Let's never be a church like this. I know our prayers can be a bit repetitive, again, because of the nature of church, okay? But we don't want to be, just using, elaborate words and putting on the holiness. And it's like, why are you, look, God's a real person. Like, talk to him like he's real. But people sometimes put on the show. Look at me, I'm a great praying person. I'm such a holy man. They have the reward. The praise of men is that reward. The reward is not the answered prayer. The reward is the praise of men. Wow, look at that man go. Look how he prays. He must be a holy man. That does nothing to satisfy your needs. But look at verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You need this time. Do you do this? This is what Christ is asking of you. Go and find some secret time with the Lord. Go to your bedroom, close the door. You say, Pastor, my house is full of family, kids like mine. All right, go out. There's a lot of empty places here on the Sunshine Coast. A lot of nice beaches that are empty. A lot of nice little parks that are empty. Go find a place of secret. You know, if you and I are talking about personal matters, sharing things, and we're amongst, not that our church is wicked people, but we're just amongst other people, isn't that going to limit how much we share one to another? Because we don't want everyone to hear, necessarily. But if you and I are having a private conversation, just two of us, don't you think a lot more is going to come out in that conversation? It's going to be a lot more personable, a lot more meaning. You need to find that time with Christ, that secret time with the Lord. You know, just find it, brethren. You have to. This is an instruction from Christ. Okay, it's great to pray in church. We're not saying don't pray in church. We're not saying don't pray publicly. That's also something that we do, that is the Lord asks of us. But let's not think that we can go through life and not have a private time, a secret time with the Lord. And I'm telling you, when you remove the distractions, you remove everybody else, and you come humbly and you apply these principles that I've covered this afternoon, you'll find your prayer life enriched. You'll find yourself enjoying your time with the Lord. You'll find that secret time where you're going to reveal things to the Lord deep down in your heart that you never thought were there to begin with, because you're now focused upon Him. Your life, your prayer life has meaning. It's not just some ritual. It's not just a vain repetition. It's not just a tick-the-box moment. It means something. And you'll find not only your prayer life improved, but you'll find your fellowship, you'll find your love for God, your appreciation for God will grow. So, brethren, the title for the sermon this afternoon was How to Enrich Your Prayer Life. Number one, humble yourself. Number two, ask for wisdom. Number three, pray daily. Number four, bring all your needs and the needs of others. Number five, develop a strong marriage. Number six, learn the will of God. Number seven, mix prayer and fasting. And number eight, I didn't give it to you, but anyway, it's a conversation, not a ritual. Number eight is, it's a conversation with the Lord, not a ritual. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity to come before you in prayer. Lord, yes, we do pray together as a church. And Lord, once again, we just pray that you'd be thankful and that you'd be blessed, Lord, by the services today. Lord, but help us to also find time with you. Lord, if we don't pray the way that we ought to, and I'm sure that would be the majority of us, please forgive us. Lord, if there's any points here that we need to improve in our prayer life, please bring them to our remembrance this week. Lord, help us not to go through tomorrow and forget what we've heard. Help us to apply the changes this very day, that we can be in closer fellowship with you. And Lord, that we can always seek your will in our life, not our own will. Lord, we love you. Thank you for being a God that answers prayers. Thank you for being an amazing God. You've given us a great power. Help us not to take it for granted. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please take your hymnals. Let's sing 361. 361. 361. Did you think to pray? 361. Did you think to pray? Okay. All right. No intro, so let's just get straight into it. And the last one we can do a cappella if we don't have a verse for it. Hey, you left your room this morning. Did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for love and favor as a shield today? The weary prayer will change the night today. So in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray. When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By his dying love and merits, Spirit as your guide and stay. Oh, how pray and rest the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray. When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? Oh, how pray and rest the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So in sorrow and in gladness, sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, how pray and rest the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray.